Welcome to today's Main Ingredient, a program designed to help you bring local farm fresh food to your table. I'm your host, Mickey Useups. My guests today are farmer Greg Swartz of Will-O-Wisp Organic Farm in Damascus, and our foodie is Lori Fogg, the creator of the website and Facebook page, A Coal Cracker in the Kitchen, which celebrates the traditional Eastern European and Pennsylvania Dutch foods of the anthracite coal region in Northeast Pennsylvania. Today's main ingredient is cabbage. So, Greg, can you talk a little bit about what varieties you grow and why?
Certainly. Yeah, we grow many different varieties of cabbage on our farm, and they all have different seasons as well. The one we grow the most of is known as Caraflex, which is one that you definitely will not see in a grocery store. It is a pointed cabbage, and that pointed type of cabbage, you can use it any way that you use a regular green cabbage, but it also, because of its shape, allows you to cut it in half or to quarter it, and works really well grilled or broiled. Another one that we do is Napa cabbage. We also grow a couple different varieties of Savoy cabbages, and then the regular kind of round cabbages, both green and red.
I understand you do several plantings. Can you talk a little bit about the timing for those planting schedules?
There's different varieties of cabbage that do well earlier or later, and then there's two of them that actually work for both. So for the early spring slot, we grow one variety of a small round green cabbage, and then we do plant a couple of early plantings of that Caraflex cabbage that I mentioned a moment ago, and then also Napa. So those we start in the greenhouse in early April. They spend about 4 weeks in the greenhouse until the transplants are of size, and then they go out into the field basically first week of May. For the fall plantings, those will be transplanted in mid to late July, again, starting them 4 weeks before that in the greenhouse. And then on the Caraflex, that one we actually do 3 succession plantings for the fall as well. It's a little faster maturing cabbage, and that means that we can get a few successions in the fall.
It has been a wet year. I'm sure that's affecting everything on the farm. Can you talk to us a little bit about what a wet season like this does for the farmer and what it might mean for the harvest?
It has definitely been challenging, but at the same time, it feels like we have to be used to it now. I think that this is now the dominant weather pattern of more precipitation overall. And then, of course, the other part of climate change is that we have more and more extreme events with larger amounts of rainfall. So it causes lots of problems. One, plants don't like to have wet feet, meaning that the roots, when they're in saturated ground, struggle. Plants get stressed out. And that also means that when the plant is stressed and with those wet, humid conditions, that is the perfect incubation area for disease. The other part of it is that if you have more rain, that also necessarily means that you have less sun. And there is this little process called photosynthesis that requires the sun. So when you have long stretches of rain, in addition to the stress of wet soil and the possibility of more disease, you're also having less sun for the photosynthetic process. And then the last thing I would say that people maybe don't think about is that when you have long stretches of wet in the field, you can't do field operations on time. It's kind of a cardinal rule that you do not want to work wet soil. And this holds true in a garden as well. Right? On a farm, we're using a tractor and implements, but even in a garden, if you're working a wet soil with a shovel or a pitchfork, it's going to do harm. Because you think about it, when you pick up a handful of wet soil and squeeze it, it holds together. You're compacting everything, and that's going to cause long-term damage. So for us, that means not being able to till the soil to prepare for planting. It means that we can't cultivate to kill weeds. And so in wet periods, we kind of have this whole cascading effect.
Do you have any sort of solutions that you are implementing or that you kind of see being necessary in the future?
Not so much new strategies, but continuing some of the core principles of organic farming, which include trying to increase the organic matter in the soil every single year. And increased soil organic matter means that the soil is better able to withstand those long wet periods. It doesn't solve the problem, but the more organic matter, the more air spaces, and the more porous, the better the aggregate of the soil structure is, that helps water percolate through the soil and allow some aeration so that the roots can keep going. And then the other piece is that We do already grow a fair bit of crops under cover in high tunnels and greenhouses, and that is really a great way to mitigate some of the challenges with too much rain.
I guess one last question. Do you have a favorite cabbage recipe?
I guess I will stick with my Caraflex love song here and say, taking a Caraflex, cutting it in half, a little bit of olive oil and coarse salt, and putting the cut side down on a grill. And you grill it over kind of medium heat. That bottom part that's touching the grill gets nice and charred. The interior of the cabbage softens up a little bit, and then the top is actually still pretty crunchy. So you have this beautiful charred flavor, the sweetness of the cabbage, and all these different textures. It's so simple, it's so delicious, and it'll impress your friends.
Well, thank you very much, Greg Swartz from Willowis Organic Farm in Damascus, Pennsylvania. We're so glad you joined us today. Now it's time to turn to our foodie this week, Lori Fogg. She is the creator of the website and Facebook page, A Coal Cracker in the Kitchen, which celebrates the traditional Eastern European and Pennsylvania Dutch foods of the anthracite coal region in Northeast Pennsylvania that were the foods of her childhood in Schuylkill County. So we're talking about cabbage. Welcome to the program, Lori, where I'm excited to have you because I'm one of those coal crackers, or at least I come from a long line of coal crackers. There's a couple of different kinds of cabbage. You have that really tight round head that's kind of like the standard cabbage. And then you have the one that's longer and not quite as tightly wrapped. Are there different ways to get them clean and ready to use in the kitchen?
The Savoy cabbage, which is probably the one you're thinking of with the wrinkled leaves, I just like to wash those as if it's like a head of romaine or something like that. Wash them in cold water, and if you have a salad spinner and you're going to use it in a cold dish, spin off the excess water. Otherwise, pretty much they're kind of treated the same as far as cleaning.
Are there any other steps we need to take with cabbage before we're going to use it?
Not really. You decide how you want to use it. Or is it going to be a cold dish? Is it going to be a hot dish? Is it going to be finely shredded? Is it going to be roughly chopped? You trim the core away, whether you're going to shred it or dice it or whatever you're going to do.
Can you talk about some of those recipes that were handed down?
My grandmother would just simply saute it with a little bacon and onions and butter. We had coleslaw every holiday. So a lot of our cooking was based around things like that. And pork and sauerkraut was an absolute must. We not only had it on New Year's, but we had it throughout the year. Those are the ones that really speak childhood to me.
Yeah, I'm exactly the same way. My grandparents were Slovak and Lithuanian. So all of the halupki and the halusky. And we probably should let people know what that is, because although many will not know exactly what those are. The halupki is stuffed cabbage.
It's a stuffed cabbage leaf, and it's known by several names in the coal region. Some people know them as blind pigeons. Some people know them as pigs in a blanket, but I knew them as halupkis.
And then the haluski, that's with the noodles.
Technically, haluski is the little dough balls. We tend to think of haluski as fried cabbage with onions with cooked noodles. But technically, it's the dough part that's the haluski. And the real traditional style is to make your own little dumplings, make your own little dough balls for it.
If somebody brought me a big green cabbage from the garden, what would you suggest that I do with it?
Oh, depending on how big it is, the first thing I head for is definitely haluskis. Okay. I like a nice big leaf of cabbage to wrap around the filling. I like to make them large. Once I get into the center of the head of the cabbage, I chop that up, or I take those leaves. I line the bottom of the pan and the top of the finished halupkis as they go into bake. It helps hold the moisture in the top, and it helps to keep it from scorching in the bottom. Or chop it up. My husband loved extra cabbage on them. So I would kind of shred the heart and sprinkle it around the top. Or sometimes I would put a bag of sauerkraut on the top. I tried to keep them the same size. But what you can do is, if you have a really large head and you want to make a lot of them, you can cut those larger leaves in half and use a half leaf to wrap each one. And then you wind up with a bunch of kind of appetizer-sized halupki.
Why don't we take people through the steps for making? We talked a little bit about, you know, rolling them up, but what are we putting inside them?
I like a mixture of ground beef and ground pork, but it can be all beef. It can be mushrooms and rice, but the typical is ground beef accompanied by rice and usually some seasoning, some chopped up onion, salt and pepper, maybe a little bit of garlic, and it forms into a mix kind of like a meatloaf or meatball. And you, judging on the size of your cabbage leaf, I like to form it into kind of like a football and place it against the back of the leaf and start to roll it up, just kind of encasing it like an egg roll. If they're done that way and they're packed tight, they will not come apart. Some people feel they have to put a toothpick in, which I don't like. I don't want to have any possibility of a guest or a diner finding a toothpick in something they may have forgot about.
We talked a little bit about sauerkraut. Can you explain how sauerkraut is made?
Yes, you start with fresh cabbage. You can either shred it on a mandolin. You could cut it by hand, which is a real chore. Or you can buy a cabbage shredder. For every certain amount of pounds of prepared cabbage you have, you use X amount of salt. I have this information on my website with a step-by-step of how to do this. You basically core the cabbage, remove any of the wilted outer leaves, shred it, weigh your cabbage that's been prepared, and then you put it in a large bowl and you mix your salt in. Toss it around a bit and you'll start to get some liquid that will start to draw from the cabbage. Once that happens, I recommend that anyone who starts to make it for the first time get a crock. You start to pack it in the crock. You put some of the cabbage and salt in, and either using your fist or a tamper, you start to mash it, and you'll see more and more liquid come out. Then you add another layer of cabbage, and you do the same thing. You do that till you get the crock up to the top, and then you'll cover the crock, and you'll place it in. Usually a basement is a good place because you want it kind of 70-ish degrees. If it goes above that, it may not turn out right. It may get mushy. If it goes below that, it won't ferment properly. So it's not difficult, but it is time consuming. I say it's well worth the effort because it's better than any sauerkraut you will ever buy from a supermarket shelf. And as far as do they rinse it or do they not rinse it, and that's an absolute personal decision. I think a lot of it for myself depends on how I'm making it. If I'm making it as pork and sauerkraut, I leave the juices because I think they really help to tenderize the pork. If I'm making it for something like just to top hot dogs, I will rinse it so it's milder and doesn't interfere with the other flavors.
So any other favorite recipes?
My husband, he was a fan of the braised red cabbage that I would make, along with mashed potatoes and a mild sausage, maybe a bratwurst. And it gets bacon and a little bit of vinegar. That's a nice side dish, something that's a little more unusual that you don't see all the time.
Joining me now is Carol Knier. She's the community health manager for Way Memorial Hospital and Way Memorial Health System, and she's also a registered dietitian. She joins us every week pretty much to tell us what's so great and nutritious about today's main ingredient, which is cabbage. Let's talk a little bit about what cabbage does for us when we make it part of a healthy, balanced diet.
Cabbage is actually loaded with a lot of vitamins and minerals. The best part of cabbage, it's probably one of the lowest calorie vegetable out there. 1 cup of chopped raw cabbage, it's only 22 calories. The one thing nice about that 1 cup of cabbage, it also has some fiber in it. Cabbage, there is more and more studies that show that it helps increase the good bacteria in our gut. And when we increase that good bacteria, it actually helps prevent many diseases down the line, like heart disease, like immune responses, diabetes. Two nutrients that we look at with cabbage is it's loaded with vitamin K, and it's also loaded with vitamin C. But one thing about vitamin C is it also helps produce collagen. It actually helps form the structure and the flexibility of our skin. So it helps keep our skin healthy. It helps decrease those wrinkles. You know, it also has that anti-inflammatory effect. We always think of inflammation in our body as a bad thing, but you have acute and you have chronic inflammation. Acute inflammation, it actually is needed. It helps protect our body against infection. It helps speed up healing. The problem with chronic inflammation, that's where it can lead to chronic disease.
All right, Carol, thank you so much for helping us navigate the world of cabbage. You can learn more about today's main ingredient and our guests, as well as find some delicious recipes on the web at seedsgroup.net and look for the Today's Main Ingredient page or visit todaysmainingredient.org. This program is produced by Seeds of Northeastern Pennsylvania to promote renewable energy, sustainable agriculture, and sustainable living in today's world. Today's main ingredient is made possible in part by grants from the Greater Pike Community Foundation, the Wayne Pike Farm Bureau, Overlook Estate Foundation, and is sponsored by Fertile Valley Farms and Wolf Spring Farms. Two local farms working together. Call 410-961-0413.